Welcome to episode 434 of Troubadours and Raconteurs with yours truly, E.W. Conundrum Demure. On this week's episode, we feature a grand conversation with artist, songwriter, musician, actress, and our resident storyteller, Little Star Run. She tells a brand new story based on something she experienced recently and connects it to some of the things she shared with us in the past. We delve into her experience this summer first and then talk about a phone call from her grandmother reaching out from beyond, about watching the birds and deliberating, an African mystic and a celebrity, a hidden library, cosmology, cell phones as magic little boxes, and meeting a new angel. Perhaps a grand conversation with Little Star Run this go around. We have an EW essay titled Bling, and I share some findings, actual findings, from the August 2021 edition of Harper's Magazine. We also have a poem called Lush Garden. And of course, all of this will be infused and imbued with the wonderful energy of several great tunes. It's so nice to be with you. Let's get to it. Episode 434 of Troubadours and Raconteurs. shadows of this deep existence in the middle of nowhere, everywhere, infinite and finite too. What else can we do? We are where we sit and stand. We walk and talk in a moment from the past, thinking of the future, wondering about the plan. I hear a beautiful song a bird sings outside this window. What of it? Who am I? Who are you? They, he, she, it, us, them, and those that pretend. Machines run loud to cut the trees, and the grass are a pain in my ass. Sassafras, spelled out plain and simple to those drones. Why is it so difficult to rise above these predetermined senses of reality? Just keep giving those dogs a bone. These myths that hold us as conscripts into an army of brutes, boobs, and belittled pushovers. It's as if we are more comfortable believing in a life of jealousy, fear, silent complacency, or teeming rage, or perhaps just nihilistically empty, standing in the shadows, coiled like a spring, ready to jeer, instead of a life that is simple in its complexity, rich in its lightness, heart, and soul, collective in its individual responsibility to oneself as well as the whole. Love over hate is so hard. The cool kids are on you all of the time, creating a false sense of security and call it sublime. Nurture the streets and the hills, the rivers into the lakes and oceans, natural thrills. The sand of the deserts, the prairies and jungles, the ancient wind and our fresh lava core, pollen and seeds, fluttering butterflies and humming honeybees, the swampland so plentiful, the hot, soothing natural springs.
Well, the evening fell just like a star, left a trail behind, and you spit as you slammed out the door. This is love, we're crazy, we fight like cats and dogs. I just know there's got to be more. So please call me, baby, wherever you are. 'Cause it's too cold to be out walking in the streets. We do crazy things when we're wounded, everyone's a bit insane. Catching your death of cold out walking in the rain. I admit that I ain't no angel, I admit I ain't no saint. 'Cause I'm selfish, I'm cruel, and I'm blind. As my devils, where my angels may leave too. When they leave, they're so hard to find. So please call me, baby, wherever you are. It's too cold to be out walking in the streets. We do crazy things when we're wounded. Everyone's a bit insane. Walking in the rain. the wall. Most of the time I'm just blowing off steam. I wish to God you'd leave me, and I wish to God you'd stay. Life's so different than it is in your dreams. Please call me, baby, wherever you are. It's too cold we are walking in the streets. We do crazy things when we're wounded. Everyone's a bit insane. I don't want you catching your death of cold.
Little Star Run, is that you?
Hello, EW. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you doing? How's the summer going? We're getting toward the dog days, the later third of the summer, I guess.
Wow. The summer has been miraculous and very eye-opening for me in a lot of ways. I feel very, very grateful just for being able to be alive, number one, you know, with what we're going through. And I also feel very grateful to have a lot of, you know, projects and people and good energy supporting me. So I feel very fortunate.
That's great. That's great to hear. And you're right. You know, oftentimes we take it for granted. There's a lot of craziness going on always, everywhere, it seems, you know, a lot of wild behavior. Good, but I'm not talking about good wild. I'm talking about that disturbing wild. You know, I mean, you go to places across our own continent, people are sick and people are troubled. You go to other parts of the world, such as Afghanistan, where it's, you know, very scary at the moment, and so on and so on. So yeah, I'm glad that you put things into perspective. It's good just to be involved, to be engaged, to be secure, right?
Yeah, and to be, you know, we've talked about it a lot, just be in the present moment and aware of, you know, the good things around you, and also what you can do to help with that universal chaos, you know, having the best intentions you have for your own sphere of influence.
Yeah, well put. I should mention, for those of you who haven't heard us talk with Little Star Run before, she is a regular contributor on Troubadours and Rock on Tours. She's an artist, a songwriter, a musician, an actress, among other things, and our resident storyteller. And she's been sharing some stories connected to one sort of, area, one sort of umbrella. They fall under angels among us, I guess, right?
Yes. And angels can be interpreted, you know, it doesn't have to be interpreted in the traditional way. You know, I'm not necessarily talking about like women with flowing hair, or, you know, those archetypes are arbitrary.
Yeah, I agree. And you're not necessarily talking about a religion.
No. Yeah, exactly. I'm talking about non-physical consciousness, spiritual experiences, unexplained experiences.
Have you had another one? Or are you going to go... Recently?
I did. And, you know, it just keeps bringing me back to that thread that I had started. There was a series of angel encounters for me that occurred around the same time And I've already spoken about several of them, but I'm going to continue that that time period and also the connection with that. But I guess I want to start in the present, because my particular recent angel experience had to do with a deceased relative, my grandmother, actually. And it was a situation where I was supposed to take a trip, and I can't reveal a lot of the details about this particular instance. I can reveal what happened, but I can't talk about the true specifics, just to protect some of the people involved.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is this a paternal or a maternal grandmother?
Maternal. Yeah. And she left us a number of years ago. She left this life, and there have also been other instances where some of my other family members talk about her being present and appearing, and their experiences as well. And so I wasn't surprised when this happened. I was surprised by the method that it occurred. So,
the method,
the method of communication. Well, it's been said that, that our cell phones are somewhat magical objects, in the sense that, you know, we would have never imagined that, 20 years ago or something, that we would have the world at our fingertips, you know, our smartphones, be able to pretty much do anything from our phone. So in a way, they're these little magical boxes, right?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Obviously, you know, if you're a little skeptical about magic, you can call it a, you know, technology, but it's a form of magic, right? So I was supposed to get in a car and go on a trip, and there were some negative energies surrounding the circumstances, and I was feeling really unsure if I should be in the vehicle with the person, you know, that was supposed to be driving, and if I needed, in general, to just get myself away from that situation. And I was having a moment where I was sitting outside watching nature, the birds, kind of deliberating about, like, okay, you know, I really need some kind of guidance on this. I don't know who I was talking to, you know, myself, the universe, but I was like, I really need to figure out if this is safe for me. I was feeling very unsafe. And my intuition was going off, and so I asked for some guidance. I forgot about it, you know. I was like, okay, I'm just gonna maybe let it sit for a while and not think about it. And I got a phone call on my cell phone. It didn't ring. It was, you know, a missed call. And it was the phone number of my grandmother's hospital bed from years earlier. And I had it in my phone. It was always written as Graham Hospital Bed 2. That's how I knew that. That's how I knew how to ask for her when she was in the hospital. That's how I, you know, knew how to understand that she was calling me as well. So it came up. Missed call, Graham, hospital bed 2. I was like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
you know, so at first I'm like, okay, fluke of the system. You know, maybe someone else is there. Somehow my number is still programmed into that hospital bed from years before. I'm not really sure that that's a thing, you know?
Right.
So at first I'm like, oh, okay. Is Graham calling me somehow? You know, I'm not a skeptical anymore. I'm a skeptic. I've had a lot of experiences with these kind of things, and I'm thinking, okay, this could be completely possible. And there was a voicemail from the number as well.
Wow.
It was a minute long, though, and it was blank.
And, wow.
You know, it was just like the sound of air, let's say. And I was like, oh, wow, you know, this is intense.
Yes.
And it didn't happen just once. It happened again. Probably because I was hemming and hawing about making my decision, you know, and
to yourself and asking for guidance.
Yeah, exactly. So it happened once. I was like, okay, she's trying to communicate with me. I didn't immediately make the connection, you know, that maybe she was trying to tell me something. But then it happened again. And then I was like, okay, I need to actually examine this. This is probably a warning for me, because my inclination was to not get into the vehicle with someone, you know?
So you were, how much time did you have to decide before you would get into the vehicle with this person, or were you already traveling with this person?
I had time to decide, and it was literally that day that I had to decide a lot of things.
So all this was happening in the same day.
Yes. Yes. And so the two calls occurred in the same day, and that was how,
what day of the week? Just out of curiosity. Do you remember?
I can't remember. Let me think. I think it was maybe a Wednesday.
A Wednesday.
Yeah. And or a Tuesday. It was, you know, in the beginning of the week or midweek, let's say. So it happened twice. It was urgent, you know, happening twice in the same day as well. I saved the voicemail, you know, I have it on my phone. I was just thinking, like, okay, this happened to me twice. There, I don't think I can deny this. And I was already feeling that, you know, the decision that I needed to make was the one where I didn't get into the car. And my grandmother, I think, probably helped me with that.
Yeah, that's amazing. When you think about it, technologically speaking, because, you know, you're trying to find reason here. How could that happen, that phone call from the hospital that your grandma was in years ago? She, you know, not there anymore. How could you get two phone calls to your cell from that phone in that bedroom in that hospital? And then messages left. You know, that's amazing to me. Technologically, how does that happen? I mean, if it's a cell phone, someone could, you know, give you the old butt dial or whatever. But that's not happening with a phone in a hospital room.
Exactly. And I'm not really necessarily sure how that works in hospitals, if they have to go through some sort of switchboard and then the person connects them. And like, let's say it was still a situation where someone in the hospital accidentally dialed me, right? Even the fact that it still comes up on my phone as my grandmother could be a message working through someone else to get to me, right?
Well, yeah. Yeah. Why did it happen then? Right. That was the only way, if your grandma was listening and connected with your need, that was the only way she could respond.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, for me, it made sense. And I think it saved me a lot of pain. And I think that, I don't know, maybe something could have happened on that trip too. You know, there could have been an accident. There could have been something. There were a lot of weird omens and signs kind of saying, like, no, this is not a good idea. So for me, that was the point where I realized, okay, everything's trying to tell me no, you know?
And I'm trying to understand. Well, would you mind telling us your grandmother's name, first name at least?
Oh, it's Mary.
Mary. It's nice to put names to people. Mary. I like the name Mary. I had a neighbor when I was a little kid. Her name was Mary. She was, you know, I was like a toddler and youngin', and she was probably in her 70s and 80s. And I remember her talking with her through the fence at my parents' home. You know, they were our next door neighbors. And I always, when I hear Mary, I think of her. But anyway, and she was kind. So I'm picturing your grandmother as a kind individual. And I bet she was. But what about this person? It was one person you were going to be riding with, or a few people? You would have been the only person?
No, there would have been other people as well. It wasn't only the trip, that it was all the circumstances around it. There were several factors that needed to be figured out. And basically I decided I had to just wash my hands of the whole thing and get out, you know, and not be involved and not continue to be involved energetically with the circumstances. So I hate to be so vague, but you know, I need to do that. Actually, I need to protect the people that are involved in this. So,
right. I respect that. So, but these people were friends, or there are new people in your life?
Both, a combination.
A combination. And you really couldn't pinpoint exactly what was not copacetic, but there was something that wasn't feeling right.
Yeah, very strong feelings. And it relates back to the previous angel stories, because I hadn't felt that way in a long time. I hadn't felt those super strong sensations in a really long time.
The ones that go back to the ones that occurred in New York City?
Yes. Yes. And I tied the two times together because I felt that the energies were very similar, and I wanted to just expand on the New York City time. I think we left off where I had met the man on the bus. I think that was the last part of the story that we had.
Yeah. You were leaving New York City. Where were you going to? I don't recall that.
I was traveling. I was traveling to Pennsylvania. Actually, I was traveling into the city. Yes, oh. I was traveling back into the city.
Oh, back into the city from Pennsylvania.
Yeah, and actually from the West Coast. I was sort of like en route back to New York. Yeah.
So, oh, I got you. So,
yeah.
Because there were many aspects of that story. I remember the man on the bus, though. He was, you want to refresh us on that interaction?
Oh, yes. Well, he was supposed to be at work as a security guard at the World Trade Center on September 11th, on the day that it, September 11th occurred.
Right, right.
And his mother was actually the one who had called him and told him not to go into work. For some reason, again, we don't know. You know, she had obviously no idea that maybe she did. Maybe she knew that was going to happen. But he had decided not to go into work that day. And he was forever changed, as he explained to me on the bus. His whole life changed from that moment. The way he saw the world, the way he saw himself, the way he saw his purpose in life, the way he saw his family, everything.
He felt there was more than he realized, perhaps, or?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I obviously can't speak for him, but I can speak for the energy that he was emanating, you know, from inside. Like an illuminated being, like someone that could just hand you, you know, the answers to life, and you could be perfectly content with it.
You're listening to Troubadours and Rock on Tours with E.W. Conundrum Demure on WFTE Radio, Mount Cobb and Scranton, Pennsylvania. Community radio at its finest. And how do you feel, and how do you think that experience connects to what you experienced with your, you know, the the calls from your grandmother and helping you decide not to go on that trip with those individuals?
Well, what I've been researching about angel encounters is that they usually occur around things like natural disasters, or a lot of times they do occur on with vehicles and cars and highways and things like that. So I tied them together because I was, kind of trying to understand maybe some of the parallels, and also about why I was feeling a lot of similar energies and thinking about those times and conversations. Angel encounters also occur between or before large decisions in life, making very momentous decisions in life to change directions or to do something unexpected. And there are books and books out about this, I'm finding, not necessarily from one religion or viewpoint or mindset, and they all seem to have similarities, regardless culturally where they're from.
And would you say these encounters are the angels, as we're calling them? Are they ancestors necessarily, mostly, or are they strangers too? I think if I recall correctly, you would even categorize the man on the bus as some sort of angel for you at that moment. When you interacted with him, too, he was alive. He wasn't somebody from the beyond.
It's uncertain, how and when and where and in what form this energy can take. Apparently, it can take on infinite numbers of different energies, and it's just kind of up to us to be able to recognize that these energies are around us. We're not using so much of our brain most of the time, or even our heart consciousness. So, it's tapping into understanding when those forces are at work, and also our connection to them, because we're all interconnected, as much as people don't want to embrace that. There's a lot of dissonance and separation in our daily discourse with one another, but we are all connected, and connected to that larger energy, which brings me to how this story unfolds after the bus. Because I arrive in New York City and I don't have anywhere to stay. And so I actually thought of this phrase recently, and I was like, when you're not living anywhere, you start to live everywhere, in the sense that you start to see, that the things that we've built up around ourselves as barriers, as culture, as commerce, economy, all of these things, they really are fluid and not a solid thing that that can be defined. So, when you're outside of those norms, you kind of start to see them a little bit differently. And that was how I was kind of looking at the world at that time, looking more for connection than separation,
Yeah, yeah, that's a healthy way. That's a healthy way, I would say, right?
Yes, and so I needed a place to stay, and I ended up meeting, I can't say names again, I'm going to have to be, so I don't have permission to use names. So I ended up meeting an African mystic, that's mystic and healer, I guess I'm going to say that. And a celebrity.
Really?
Yes. And I ended up living in a squat in the East Village with them both, as roommates. And And that was, you know, sort of something that I just came across. Squat, for people who don't know, it's, you know, illegal occupied building. we did have electricity, though, and running water. It was civilized. We didn't have a lot of furniture, but it was a safe haven for me. And the African mystic ended up finding out that my second name was Lucille, and wondering about that and talking to me about it. And I explained, oh, you know, it comes from my family. And he was telling me what it meant. And he said, I need to take you to this library. And I said, okay, what library? He's like, oh, you'll be surprised. And he took me to an esoteric library that it's not intentionally hidden, but it is at the same time. It's open to the public. It's open to anyone that wants to find it, in the sense it's sort of a little bit of like a Harry Potter kind of thing. It's called Lucha's Trust, and it's an esoteric library that overlooks the United Nations. And Lucius is, it means light bearer, and it was named from the Latin for Lucifer. It's not a Satanist thing, but there's some people that really think it is, but it's not. It was named from the Latin meaning light bearer, and then, you know, it was sort of talking about this higher consciousness, and that's why the library was founded. Mm-hmm. And so... yeah, when he found out that my second name was Lucille, he was like, oh, I have to take you to this esoteric library. So he brought me there, and it really is like something out of Harry Potter. And this is a library that studies the ageless wisdom, which includes everything that has to do with the energies that I'm talking about. Angels, higher consciousness, esotericism, cosmology, the universe. And this is where life led me right after, very, very soon after that encounter with the man on the bus.
So what year are we talking?
Oh, I'm not sure. Well, yeah, that when did September 11th happen? That was like 2000.
One.
Yeah, one, yeah. Yeah. Don't ask me years. I don't remember things.
I'm sorry. I'm like that too. I'm terrible with dates, but I'm trying to get, generally speaking, the early, very, very early 21st century.
Yeah, and so going from these angel encounters to living with an African mystic, you know, and being taken to this esoteric library called Lucha's Trust, which... their philosophy, too, is that if you want to find this library, you're going to find it. So, you know, and if you don't resonate with it, you won't end up there. And I think that's an interesting way to look at a lot of things in life.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And that it expanded your sense that there is more and meeting the African mystic. And I suppose the celebrity, I don't know if he has or she has a role in this too, gave you more substance, more direction to a certain extent in your own journey, for your own journey?
I think I wasn't necessarily ready to receive all that at the time that I did. Maybe I just don't have the right perspective on it. But recently... the name of a book that I had taken out at that library came up very shortly after I had that encounter with my grandmother on my cell phone. And again, for me, that tied it all back in together, that, okay, the energies from that time, the things that are happening now, the connections, there's something going on here. And I hadn't thought about that book in quite a long time. And it's A Treatise on Cosmic Fire. That's the name of the book. And I used to carry it around with me. You're allowed to take books out of the library for a certain number of weeks. And I used to carry it around with me, not really understanding it completely, but sort of just wanting the energy of the book with me, you know?
Yes, and this is back with the esoteric library that the African Mystic, that library you got this book out of back in, 20 years ago, basically.
Yeah.
And now, how did you come across it again? Because, you didn't steal that book from the library back in 2001. So how did you come back to it again now, you know, more recently, right after that encounter with your grandma?
It came up in conversation with a person that helped me out of the situation that I was in with the vehicle and everything that my grandmother had to help me with. And it came up in the conversation with sort of a new type of angel that that protected me through that situation when I needed it. And this was an actual person and a friend. And so not having thought about that that book in a really long time and making the correlations and understanding that, okay, you know, this was probably the right path that I needed to take. And there were all these signs, maybe my entire existence leading up to it, you know, just for that moment, you know, because the correlations between the number of years that had passed, also the circumstances and everything, they certainly got my attention, that's for sure.
Yeah. And are you going to get a copy of A Treatise on Cosmic Fire and maybe delve into it again?
I already did. I've already started rereading it and understanding it completely in a different way now. And if for anyone that is interested in this esoteric library, you can also take out their books online. Especially now because of the pandemic, they're mostly working through online borrowings and things like that. They also have a school on esoteric wisdom that's completely free. It's a correspondence kind of learning, and it's accessible to everyone. It's been made to be that way if people are open and ready to receive it.
And they just would kind of like do an internet search for the Esoteric Library in New York City or something to that?
It's called Luchas Trust. So it's like luchastrust.org would be the website. Mm-hmm.
And Lucha, is that like Lucia, or how do you spell that?
Oh, so it would be Lucis Trust. So Trust. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Luchastrust.org. Yeah.
Excellent. And Little Star Run, our resident storyteller, what another great story. We're just about out of time. It goes by so quickly when we talk.
It does.
Do you have a parting thought until next time for our listeners?
Be open to receiving unexpected signs from the universe about things that you are trying to understand in your own life.
Wonderful. Wonderful. It's a pleasure talking with you. Hopefully we see you out and about one of these days. But even if not, I look forward to talking with you again soon here on Troubadours and Rock On Tours. Thank you, Little Star Run.
Oh, thank you, EW. Always a pleasure. Take care.
You too.
Thank you.
If you look outside and take a breath, you're really not too far. Some of us know the answer's hard to find. We live in our mind, and it makes us all forget sometimes. So just take a break from the messages and calls that you had to make, 'cause I can see it on your face.
And now some actual findings as compiled and published by Harper's Magazine for their August 2021 edition. Again, actual findings. Photons in plasma were accelerated to 1.3 times the speed of light. Concrete buildings can be built to serve as batteries. And the snow covering Greenland was getting darker and older. Terrestrial middle latitudes cooled by around 6 degrees Celsius during the last glacial maximum. Archaeologists concluded that the Aqueduct of Valens had a second channel for maintenance, but were unable to progress with more research after treasure hunters dynamited a crucial span in search of gold. Half of Guadalupe's squamates went extinct after 1492, and the population decline among Amazonian people may have begun three centuries before the Great Dying. The prominent erection of the San Abbas giant may have been chalked on in the 17th century. Voyager 1 was transmitting data on the interstellar medium at a speed of about 160 bits per second, and 128 baby bobtail squid were sent to the International Space Station. Scientists have been underestimating the tree farts of ghost forests. Risk factors of non-genetic colorectal cancer include red meat, low education, too much alcohol, and too little alcohol. In an emergency, mammals can absorb oxygen through the rectum. Bears who rub against more trees have more mates and more cubs. For the first time in three millennia, Tasmanian devils were born on the Australian mainland. The parrot poaching decisions of Indonesian smugglers are determined by beauty, and the global bird population was estimated to be 50 billion. Lush Garden. The arc of a long marble hallway into the coolness of white, black, and olive, with sparkles of gold, unfold outside as a lush garden of pink, yellow, and red intermingle. The smell and sound of clear, crisp, fresh water as a babbling brook passes through under the deep blue sky, not so high today, not so far away.
I don't remember when we wild and young, all that's faded into memory. I feel like somebody I don't know. Are we really who we used to be? Am I really who I was? Well, the lights will draw you in, and the dark will bring you down, and the night break your heart, but only if you're lucky now. Waiting outside while you find your keys, like bags of trash in the blackening snow. City of neon and toes that freeze. We got nothing and nowhere. Got nothing and nowhere, and the lights will draw you in, and the dark will take you down, and the night will break your heart, only if you're lucky now. And if the lights draw you in, and the dark can take you down, if you're lucky now. Faded in the memory. I feel like somebody I don't know. Are we really who we used to be? Am I really who I was?
And there you have it, episode 434 of Troubadours and Raconteurs, with yours truly, E.W. Conundrum Demure. I'd like to thank those folks who made this episode possible. First and foremost, Little Star Run. I also would like to thank Harper's Magazine and these musical artists, Thelonious Monk, Sandy Alex G, Tom Waits, Diego Garcia, Fortet, Inflow, Ryan Adams, Brentford Marsalis, and Terrence Blanchard too. And of course, I would like to thank you for listening. Until next time, let's give it a go and do our best with this time. Take care.